Welcome. My name is Tracy Cook, and this is a podcast series, Victim to Victory. This series gives a voice to those that have overcome obstacles in all forms, that dare greatly to share their real stories. Amazing humans that have seen hope and risen above those adversities to become victorious, that now go on to support and inspire others to do the same, just like our special guest here today. So please subscribe and comment to go into our monthly draw to win access to the Brand Your Story Academy Podcast Creator course. Now, today we are giving a voice to a very special guest in Costa Rica. He is amazing. He is an entrepreneur on fire. He has an amazing story that I've heard snippets of, and I can't wait to delve deeper into it. Richard Blank, thank you for joining us here today.
Tracy, good evening and good morning in Costa Rica. I cannot tell you how happy I am to be here today with you and your audience and to share my story, which has a lot of twists and turns, but as we know, has a very, very happy ending.
Definitely. So your life, we're talking pre-show, your life has escalated in such an amazing journey and dispelling all the naysayers and breaking through and moving to a different country. I'm absolutely so excited to share this with our audience today. So Richard, where does your story start?
It starts in Northeast Philadelphia in the United States, where I was attending a private school, Germantown Academy. This is my victim section of my life. I was at a private school from kindergarten till seventh grade. And once again, I grew up very well. I had grandparents and parents that were entrepreneurs and made an amazing life for me. And I'm very thankful for that. So I was at the school, and when you know lower school, things are easy. You just sit in class, you pay attention, you could do very well. But in seventh grade, things seem to have caught up with me. And, you're starting to go to roller skating parties and you're meeting people and having fun. So you're a little distracted, but you're also still very immature. And at the end of the year, when my finals came, I was not prepared. I do remember sitting on a rainy Sunday in the dining room of my parents' home with stacks of books ready to go to study my social studies, mathematics, and science, and realizing I was way over my head. It wasn't funny or cute anymore. I couldn't smile my way out of it. And there was nobody to blame but myself. And Tracy, I knew I was going to fail. I was going to fail big time. And being that young, you're supposed to be building your character. It's a very impressionable stage. You could either start on a bad path or a good path. And at 13 years old, I was failing. And I was failing myself, and I was about to be thrown out of a school where I've known these people my entire life, besides my best friend on my own street. These were kids I went to school with and grew up with. And I was also going to be shunned. I was that kid. I was, the mother's committee said, you can't play with that child anymore. So imagine that sort of stigma. And so when finals came, I got three Fs and two Ds. In fact, Mr. Wakeman and Miss Delario were very kind. They gave me D's when they should have really given me F's. And I failed out of this school, my grandfather and father's alma mater. And so fortunately, that summer I went to summer school for Abington Senior High School, and I went to a public school. So instead of 60 children that come from nice families that are on their way, I was with 440 public school kids that had the same ambition, but just kind of lived around my neighborhood. That I saw around the way, I just didn't know. I was a new kid in school, and I was given a second chance. So I wasn't going to drop it. So in the short span of being thrown out of a school and being the zero, I turned it around, and I was a tri-letterman in lacrosse, ice hockey, and golf. So I was involved in sports. I started doing, class council and class government. So I was building up public speaking skills and making friends. And on the fun side, Tracy, I was also the class partier of my year. I had traveling parents, so I took full advantage of an empty house most weekends. I didn't say I made all these friends quickly. I had an empty house, so the new kid in school could throw parties. And so I was able to meet people and build that different private school to public school character. And I know that in Australia, you have those certain sort of opinions that are given to you. And a lot of lives are predestined where you should be going to the U or going into other areas. And just like my favorite band NXS, they were all supposed to be doing these blue collar jobs and they decided to stick together and create this band. And I follow things like that. I follow walkabouts. I remember your 1971 movie that spoke about this affluential daughter or brother and sister that were lost outside, and the Aboriginal found them and saved them, but had that sort of experience as well. People need to go through these coming of age moments. Besides failing, which is great for me because I came back so strong, it also taught me a lesson about life. You need to be very accountable, Tracy, to what you do, and you need to stand behind it. And so when I was building my character at Abington, the one thing I knew was that I loved Spanish. I really enjoyed the language. And when a lot of my friends were choosing medicine and law, engineering and architecture and going to, in the United States, these Ivy League schools, which are very competitive, I almost felt like a black sheep because I was going to double down on Spanish. And I was going to go to a very large university, the University of Arizona in Tucson, so I could practice it. And so none of my friends could compare my story. None of my friends could compare notes. They weren't sure what I was doing, but they said, go, Richard, go. And so while I was at the University of Arizona, and just like yourself, I studied public speaking. We also studied rhetoric so we could make a more effective delivery in our messages. And I also needed a special sauce. So I decided to study micro-expression reading, body language. I needed some experience in order to be an entrepreneur, but no one's going to hire a young man. So when I was in college, I was lying in a pool listening to the radio, and there was a place called Casa de los Niños, and it was an area in Tucson that was for abused and neglected children. They were doing a Corvette raffle giveaway. I put in because I'd love to win a Corvette. I didn't win, but I won something a little bit bigger, Trace. I won a relationship with this nonprofit organization. And obviously you see my energy. I was on something and I wanted to raise money and I was excited. And I asked them, may I raise you some money? And they said, sure, Richard, but make sure it's legal. Not a problem. So then this is what happened. I went to my hairdresser, this guy named Dino, that had a place called Champs Hair Salon. It was right next to Telemundo, which is a huge Spanish speaking television station in the United States. And you see where this is going. Not only did I get my haircut that day, but I pitched Dino an idea of doing a haircut marathon on campus so we can get 100 new clients and I can raise some money for these people and I can put something on my resume to show that I'm a promoter and a public relator. Well, how do you raise that money? Well, I went to my fraternity and I asked my fraternity brothers to participate. And I went to the Alpha Phi sorority girls at the University of Arizona and asked those girls to participate. And in one day, we did $5 5-minute haircuts. I mean, a quick snip, you know, or a bowl cut. And we raised $780.
Wow. For that.
And in one day, and it was fun. And I realized that I was doing something, of course, for my experience, but really it was really selfless. I was raising money for this organization that saw my potential and gave me an opportunity. And so what happened then? Telemundo was aware that, you know, they're getting their hair cut at Champs Hair Salon. So Dino set up an appointment for me to sit next to the marketing and public relations guy one day. So while we're fixing our hair.
Smooth.
I got a chance to speak to this man, Martin Pereda, in Spanish for an hour and just explain what I just did and how I feel. And he asked if I'd like to intern for Telemundo 20 hours a week. And I met Jay Cohen, who was the owner of the Tucson and the Phoenix locations, these television stations. And he tilted his head and nodded and listened, as you did, Tracy, prior to this call today, listened to the pre-Richard story and said, okay, I'll give you a shot. You're a neat kid. And for the next 2 years, I was practicing promotions and public relations in Spanish around Tucson to build my experience, my confidence, and my ability. So when I was 27 years old, and the opportunity arose from a very good friend of mine that owned a call center in Costa Rica. He asked me to come down to teach English for just 2 months. He says, you're neat. Come on down. Let's see what we can do. I worked with him for 4 years. And for me, I learned, it was like my graduate school for the business, but putting business aside, what I did learn on the spiritual side and on the victory side was that I saw a certain work environment where people feel like robots, where people feel indispensable, and they feel like they could be replaced at any time and they're just a number. And so by being in that environment, I was able to notice ways to enhance the experience for not only the agent, for the customer. And I love the fact that people see the art in speech, because being a victim is one thing and people will listen to your story, and you know, misery loves company, but people also love a very strong comeback. And my comeback was getting past my parents' guilt so I could live anywhere in the world. And I was able to overcome people that had no idea where my major in college was going to take me or what I was going to do. It wasn't pre-planned. And so dreamers sometimes, Tracy, they feel very alone. And you have to look at yourself in the mirror and make that huge decision. Are you going to quit 80% in, or are you going to go all the way? So at least you can live with yourself. So at least when you're telling your story, people can look at you knowing that you went 15 rounds, and at least you had the grit and the courage and the Australian outback sort of energy to be able to make it through and tell your beautiful stories. And mine is not the flashiest or the deepest, but it's really about a romantic thinking that life should be an adventure and I should go to a foreign place and learn cultures and languages, because that's what I read in storybooks growing up. And you're supposed to meet a princess and slay dragons and get married. And I've pretty much done all that except the dragon. But whenever I see a young man or a young woman that embraces English as their second language and they increase their vocabulary and they're diplomatic on the phone and they get some sort of experience out of that, I couldn't be more proud, because I know that this is a leader and this is an individual that is, Tracy, these are individuals that are working on their crafts when the cameras are off, like you, dedicated practice. These are the people that are practicing the violin, practicing their painting. They're in the weight room. They're speaking as yourself, just to make sure that it's perfect. And when I meet somebody that speaks multiple languages, I see dedication and structure and cognitive skills. I might see bad habits, and we can adjust those accordingly in regards to ethics and morals. But I do see people that are on the verge of a breakthrough. And all they need, Tracy, is a proper mentor, a coach, a friend, or maybe somebody that's willing to dress for them. You complimented me that I showed up early. I beat you by 15 minutes on our Zoom. So I was going to be early. Of course I'm going to be early. Of course I'm going to be there for respect for your time, your audience time. These are the sort of, not just first impressions, this is the energy that we're sharing with one another. And it could be 5 minutes or it could be an hour. But when we leave today, I'm going to be talking about Tracy Cook and your show for the longest time. And
appreciate that.
When Costa Rica gets introduced to you, first, you know they're going to love your accent. But secondly,
everyone loves an Aussie accent, Richard.
It resonates. Your show was so good that it caught my attention, and it was logical enough where I could sit through the whole thing because I was learning stuff, and you inspired me to write you. And I hope your audience doesn't think that it was an immediate booking. Oh no, we went back and forth a couple times. You asked follow-up questions. You were interested. You just wanted to be sure that maybe it was either A, authentic, sincere, or that it was a real story to tell, because it's the first time you heard this sort of story. And I couldn't respect you more for that, Tracy. I've been on so many podcasts, but this is the one that I've been thinking about the most because it's got nothing to do with really what I do. I'm not giving you tips and tricks. This was a Richard Meese story. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't thank you enough for allowing me to, you're almost like a like my sister. So I'm hanging out with my sister in the room, listening to NXS and talking about stuff and feeling better. And it's just, you're great, Tracy. You bring this out of people, your smile, your energy. You believe in people. And what we're doing is we're walking together. We're doing a woo way where there's no resistance. All we're doing is putting wind in each other's sails. And these sort of interactions that I have with amazing people like yourself and your audience, and it's the first time in the continent, Australia, so I'm extra, you know, I'm extra excited. It's very humbling. And I'm not selling anything. All I'd like to do is just share ideas with people and pass along and pass it forward so I can make somebody else's day, or to let people know that there are people out there like me that embrace you with open arms and will listen first before giving advice and will take all of your points into consideration, even if I've never experienced it before, or no idea what you're even talking about. But I will understand your tone, and I will understand your passion behind what you're trying to do. And that's all I can really do when I have these sort of interactions with people. I know I took up, I guess, the majority of the time speaking. And I thank you for that. That's just kind of how I got here today, Tracy.
No, that is fine, because this is what Victim to Victory, the podcast platform, is all about, Richard. People like you that took a chance on themselves and they didn't listen to the naysayers and the black sheep that are thinking outside the box, that are giving people a helping hand up and not a push down, to genuinely be thought leaders and world changers. And boy, don't we need that more than ever, especially as a result of the last couple of years. And to make that leap, you know, to just go to a different country and just invest, you know, the 2 months that have turned into, you know, a long time relationship in Costa Rica for you. Yeah. But to be able to invest emotionally into people, that is the new currency. Emotional investment is how you make yourself happy. It's how you actually reach abundance. It's how you actually achieve your goals, because you emotionally invest in people. And yes, we did go backwards and forwards a few times before you appeared on the podcast, because I wanted to make sure that I could give a proper platform for people's stories like your own, you know, that not necessarily has gone through extreme trauma or anything like that, but to be able to think outside the box, to be able to overcome the obstacles that naysayers, I call them crabs in a bucket, are holding them back. Because we know when we put crabs in a bucket, one tries to go out and the others pull it back down. So those crabs in the bucket, the one crab that gets out and does something extraordinary, you know, and that's what you're doing. So when you're emotionally investing in people, and like you said, you've got a passion for learning about people's cultures and languages and what motivates and core values and beliefs. And we were talking pre-show, Costa Rica, you know, is a very conservative and mainly Catholic-based, you know, society. So values and beliefs are different. And you're introducing new themes and concepts and seeing what makes people tick, right? Seeing what actually is the motivator for people to want to become more than just a day-to-day robot, or more than just a person that works a 9-to-5 for 30 years, generationally conditioned to retire and have a small amount of things at the end. They're actually following their dreams. Like you said, you know, they're playing the violin, or they're learning another language, or they're investing, you know, in a side hustle or something like that, to be more than what society and programming and generational legacy beliefs, breaking those generational chains, even in Costa Rica. So with Costa Rica, I'm really intrigued. because it is so conservative. What do you think the main values and belief systems are there where people are scared to maybe step out of the normal?
I see actually almost the contrary. There's a saying here in Costa Rica, pura vida, which means pure life. They live a beautiful, open, natural lifestyle. Tracy, they don't have a standing army. So there's a 95% literacy rate there. Also, they're very big on family values. In this sort of culture, a lot of the times the grandparents or parents will live with married couples or their children for periods of time. So
A lot
of families are together. And it's a wonderful thing. Imagine the time with grandma learning how to cook and learning all the old stories and stuff. That's how you pass down traditions. That's how you have culture. That's why either certain jewelry, clothing, paintings, recipes, songs. And so every time you go into somebody's home, you will taste in this culture in Costa Rica, they will feed you. And if you don't accept the second plate, you're insulting them. So be prepared. and they're very gracious and they're very proud. It's a very, very proud culture. And what I love about it most is that they're very embracing. They love their natural tourism. We have volcanoes here with hot springs. We have beaches here. We have the rainforest, all different types of plants and animals and the flowers. And so you're walking in paradise. And when you go on these tours and when you get away from the city, you can almost find yourself again. I always believe, Tracy, in image streaming, that when you do decompressed stimulation for more than 20 minutes, your mind can wander. Like when your head's on a pillow or you're taking long walks. And I'm not a meditator like Eastern philosophy meditation, but I can find center and I can find my balance. And I can do this when I have that sort of me time and I'm in the rainforest or by a waterfall where I'm staring at one of the most beautiful sights in the world that I wouldn't have experienced if I didn't travel 3,000 miles. It brings me in the now because everyone's anxious about the future or they're upset about the past. Mm. But unless they're in childbirth or being eaten by a shark or something where their five senses are in overload, they're usually distracted. Their body is here, but their mind is elsewhere. And so as much as I can, I try to bring myself back to the moment. And it's a habit that you have to work on. But once you see it, you don't unsee it. And things become a little more lucid for you. Not just conversation, that's what you and I are experts in, but I'm just talking about life, about how bright the sky could be. Or because if you live in a concrete jungle, or unfortunately, as you said, you do 9 to 5, imagine seeing the same buildings and the same train station and the same bus every day, same commute. There's not a party or something stimulating for the eye. And so being able to do something like this for a first time, it's almost nirvana. It's almost ecstasy to be able to naturally enjoy the beauty of life, because what you and I are worried about is paying our bills tomorrow. Bill will get paid. Why don't you enjoy where you are at the moment with your significant other or your child or your best friend? Because he's busy too. You don't have time to hang out. Or with me, if I get to play pinball, I'm going to enjoy that game. Leave me alone for a minute. I want to enjoy my time. And because it goes so fast. And look at us now. At one time, we were back in the day frolicking, running around with not a care in the world. And besides the weights that we're carrying on our shoulders, we're still taking the time out to share ideas with people to hopefully in your way, Tracy, and allowing me in my way on your show, Victim to Victory, is to do our part for humanity. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think if more circles are made like that between people, those circles can also grow. And you are going to have a very, very large fan base here in Costa Rica And it's not because I'm promising it or forcing it. You know they're going to love you. And they're going to want to watch your show.
Well, and I hope so. I hope so.
I know so. And, and you better start learning some Spanish, you know, learn a couple expressions.
I do know, is it hola?
Hola.
Uh-huh. Hola. Yeah, I do know that. That's about my depth of Spanish.
That's going to get you a long way. You're going to do just fine. But that's the sharing. A new Central American country above Panama, south of Nicaragua, right there in Central America. They're going to be introduced to Tracy Cook and Victim to Victory. And they're going to be very interested in this. And it's going to open their minds on other perspectives and other parts of the world of professional and amazing people that shine. And it just doesn't have to be me or around the United States. No, no. There are incredible people everywhere. And through this technology today, look at us. Imagine me having to jump on a flight and fly, which I would have done. But the fact that we can do it this way means that we can do it more often. And we can do it with our own convenience and flexibility. So there's no forced fits on the times that we get together. That's kind of cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. And especially with a global podcast, you know, just bringing communities together and sharing, you know, there seems to be, even with different values and beliefs and different lifestyles and cultures and things like that, there seems to be a commonality that I find globally as well. And that's that if you actually share your experiences, if you actually share your story like you've done with us today, Richard, if you actually share your vulnerability, and there's so much strength around vulnerability as well. A lot of people think vulnerability is weakness. It's not. It is the most courageous place that where you can actually step into your story and you can drop your armor and just be vulnerable. There is so much strength and bravery and courage in people like you sharing their stories and saying, this is where I was. This is how I overcome. This is what I'm doing now to help others. And just the raw authenticness of people that will actually change the world. And it's all about generations and legacies as well. Like you said, there's multi-generations that are living in houses in Costa Rica. We don't get a lot of that here in Australia. It's when you go into an aged care home or something like that. There's not a lot of multi-generational families within Australia. Some cultures in Australia are doing that, a lot of the Italians and things like that, but not a lot of that here. So it's really comforting to see the differences, but also the similarities as well. So when we talk to people that are the thought leaders and the changers and the world shakers, and they're helping other people, we know that that common thing that we have, and you touched on this so well, Richard, is just compassion, empathy, interest, emotion. Yeah. You know, who are you? Let me get to know you. Because if I'm working with you 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day, you're not just somebody sitting next to me in a cubicle. You're not just somebody who sweeps the floors. You're a person, and I want to get to know you. Because if I know your strengths and your weaknesses and your drive, we can have a better relationship. And that's what you really touched on as well, is if you know somebody's drive, if you know where they've been or how they've overcome or what their vulnerabilities or strengths are, it's not that you play to it. And I'd love to hear your thoughts around this, but it's not that you play to it, but you just connect on a deeper level. Would you agree that that is similar to how you make your connections?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing is to know their name. And real quick, going back to what you just mentioned, if you're able to laugh at yourself, I'm not laughing at myself. I was disappointed in myself back in the day, but I can look at it now and tease myself on it, you know, because what's wrong with you? You're better than that. You know, if I could talk to me, I'd be grilling me real hard. I think relationships are built in, and I do agree with you on empathy. I also believe that sometimes people are lost, as I mentioned in a moment. It could also be miscommunication. So by being neutral with somebody, you're able to gauge their positive reinforcement, maybe by keeping, as you would mention, an empathetic, confident, and compassionate tone. That could be consistent, like a caring mother or a doctor, right? So I think society, wherever you are in the world, would agree that that is the perfect sort of bedside manner that people would feel most comfortable with. Now, I also focus on how fast and how loud people speak. And if I can match that sort of rate, we call that mirror imaging, you'll probably reduce any sort of interruptions or cross-talking, because I know what I know. And to reiterate what you just said, Tracy, I want to know what you know, so then I can adjust what I know, so it's more of your conversation and I could lead it that way. Maybe if there's static or noise in the background, I've always seen that strategically, if you're inadvertently and passive aggressively liking dogs and liking children, by letting you know, me too, I really, and you've mentioned that, mm-hmm. I love dogs too. Mm-hmm. The person will get the hint in a very polite way that the dog might be distracting, but then also show your authenticity by asking a follow-up question. What's the dog's name? And they're going to say Fluffy. And that's great. And everyone's always wondering the time of a conversation when you connect with someone. What's it when we're closing or we're starting off or pitching our stuff? No. It's when you and I are talking about your dog, and we're going to do it for 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden you say, excuse me, what is your name again? And I'm going to say, my name is Richard Blank. Oh, okay, Richard. Now you're using it for the rest of the call, which means that we have made that connection. We've made that pinpoint. So if you're worried about trying to make a friend, make your point, make a sale, I would tell you to focus on making that connection. Because mm-hmm. if everything else is a forced fit, and once you know my name, like I know yours, we're good. You'll never forget mm-hmm. me. And the chances are, from an educated point of view, you'll make a decision if you like the topic, if you want to move forward. So these are, you'll never please 100% of the people, even if you play a perfect hand, because you never know. But with good intentions, good faith, and a very, very clear message that is neutral, but assertive and positive, chances are these conversations and these interactions will be positive. And you'll reduce any sort of ego defense or any sort of miscommunication, or as we call them, rabbit holes that you have to mm-hmm. get yourself out of. And so these are the sort of excellent ways to show very, very in the moment, active listening participation with people. By repeating their question, by doing a follow-up question, and putting your phone down. And that is an excellent way to show old school style, like we grew up with, Tracy, mm-hmm. old school, where you look.
I'm glad you touched on the phone. That is so annoying when you go to meet your girlfriend for a coffee and the first thing they do is put their phone down in front of them. And I thought, no, we're having coffee. You keep it in your bag. It is such a sore point with me. It really is, because I think, well, I've taken the length, and that's where we do that comparison, right? It's like, well, I value this conversation more than you, obviously, because I had mine in my bag on silent. Yeah. So you instantly gauge, right?
We're never going to win that battle, and you know it. They'll jump into the water for the phone. They won't jump into water to save you, but they'll jump in to save the phone.
Yeah. You just brought up the thought in my side, Richard. You just brought up the thought in my side. We all have one, don't we? Now, I know that you're helping a lot of communities and things like that there now. Have you got any projects in Costa Rica that you're doing, or any programs or any community things that you're actually doing there at the moment as well?
I've done some internships for some of the local high schools where they have some of their students that have very advanced English skills. I don't put them on the phone or make them row my boat. No, I don't have them do that. I have them sit next to some of my aces so they can listen in on certain calls and listen and watch the CRM to see how you can work a computer, see what quality assurance looks like when you're graded. So in essence, their internship is really just more of skill set. I will sit them through what an interview process would look like. I would walk them through how to create a resume. I will tease them because they give me terrible answers. I go, please, tell me a story. Really give me something here. Just don't tell me you're a leader. How were you a leader? Tell me a time you beat up the bully or you saved the kitten out of the tree. I always ask them, Tracy, for a coming of age moment. And they say, what's coming of age moment? So I explain it to them. And so instead of getting the traditional resume information where they just put that aside, I want your story. Mm-hmm. And then when I hear the story and it's a rainy Wednesday and they're not feeling well, I'll walk by and nickname them what they did in that story. And immediately they do their second wind. And is it manipulation? No, but if you call me champ, it might motivate me. What do you want me to do? I mean, these are certain sort of reverse psychologies, or if anything you mentioned earlier, knowing about you, I can repeat your entire story to you in detail, how you take care of your grandmother, how you're paying to go through college, what you're studying because you'd like to be a doctor one day, and the fact that we've adjusted your schedule so you can go to school, mm-hmm. and the fact that we're working with you because we believe in you as well and you haven't quit on us in 3 years, you're my main man. And I hope to be the last boss you ever have, Tracy, because if you know everybody's name and if you onboard people and you prepare them, you'll be very successful in life. It's that simple. There's no tips or tricks or behind the door or the curtain. It's really about the essence of the individual, because you'll get called out on it. If you're lying and if you're a one-trick pony and this is your only game, they're going to catch on to you. But if you're willing to roll up your sleeves and do exactly what the people you ask to work with you do, and you're willing to, as you say, if you ask them to show up on time, you show up on time. And additional projects, it's really about feeding these families. And it's really about having these families very proud of the young men and women here that are giving me their time so my clients can be successful. And I take that very seriously, because you want to be a boss. What, so you can fire somebody? Yeah, that's cool. I don't believe in that at all. I believe that the best bosses are leaders that eat last. They're the ones that make sure that your people are taken care of first. Maybe they'll drive by my office and see that the light is on at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's not because I'm behind. It's because I'm preparing for Tracy Cook's podcast next week. And I'm reading and I'm listening to her podcast. That's what I'm doing. I'm 4 steps ahead. I'm never behind. I'll always be prepared as I was this morning. And it's not for you, it's for me. And if I can do it, then maybe if you were with me, then water seeks its own level and we all can raise each other just on momentum. On energy energy waves. I don't need a computer to make you feel good and positive. I don't need to have any sort of equipment to bring with me to justify who I am or to show my character. I'm me, and I could stand there in a bathing suit hanging out with you at the beach just talking and still have substance and still have merit. I don't need to show you something or depend on something or back me up on something to have caliber and to have a good moment with you, or to listen to your story and be extremely excited for what you're doing and maybe make a couple suggestions to have a better time. Definitely. As I said, Tracy, we're old school. It's pre-computer and pre-phone. My relationships are, I guess, deeper in regards to how people are connecting that way.
Definitely. And I love sharing kind of cultural experiences as well, because in Australia we're brought up, you know, she'll be right, just get on with it, you know. there's nothing too fancy, you know, there's not a lot of substance. We're pretty relaxed here. We're pretty casual in a lot of the things that we do, but we do have that mateship, and we do have that we'll wave to the neighbor, or if we're mowing our lawn, we'll mow the next door neighbor's lawn. You know, we do have that mateship. And that's what I actually love about different cultures as well, because there's just so many different ways of connecting. You know, you buy a beer for someone down the pub, you know, and they just go, cheers, mate. you know, whereas, you know, another culture is like, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, it's always about the different cultures and how they're connecting and how they use their languages to just be human. Old school, you said, Richard, you know, we can talk human. Before, you know, we weren't brought up texting. We weren't brought up, you know, we didn't even have a TV in our house until I was 12. But we learnt to speak human. We learnt to ride a bike in the street and fall off and skin our knee and get back up and come home. And then 2 days later, your mum goes, oh, do you want a Band-Aid for that? You know, I'll be fine. You know, it's all about those experiences. And especially with technology, we can connect more globally, but we're still connecting the same. We're still speaking the same. And we're still bringing those old school values that maybe have been generationally passed down as well with the traditions and the stories, regardless of culture or where you come from or how you've overcome your obstacles or how you're helping people now. And that's what I love about a global podcast, because I get to hear all of these amazing stories like yours of being the black sheep, of fighting that adversity to take that chance of 2 months that turned into a lifetime of entrepreneurship, of helping other people now, students coming in, and you're helping them with plans of how they can be better versions of themselves. And that's what we need, a global movement of just being nice humans.
Tracy, I have a question for you.
Sure.
I believe that a lot of the images we see online are more plastic, more of a print instead of a painting. People are putting out their best moments on Instagram and Facebook, their airbrushed photographs, or when they were at Disney or their vacations. Growing up, prior to our online images and biographies, we were just knowing people from around the way, from the skin knees to the climbing trees to the bike rides to the campfires to things like that. We never really got to compare each other with our online personalities, just maybe photographs we had together. So I think people are putting their best image forward, which is fine. But as I said before, it's more of a print. I think it's more commercialized. I think they have their stuff too well rehearsed. So it's not raw anymore. You don't really get to see the true character of somebody. You're seeing the character, the persona or the ego of the person. But when you skin your knee with your best friend and you don't want to cry in front of them, that's really showing the true person that you'll never see on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're missing a little bit about the essence of people through these online personalities that we see.
I couldn't agree more. I would rather, Richard, and I don't know about you, I would rather see somebody's blooper reel than their highlight reel.
It's more fun that way, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, but you're so right. And I just wanted to make that point. As proud as I am of people and their beautiful families and their vacations, my best moments was when Tracy skinned her knee on her back and everyone laughed at her. She ran home, you know, but she tried to make that big jump over the tree and it just it hit it. But you see where I'm going. That's where you make your best friends, because you got through the toughest moments together, or you got to see the people when they were vulnerable, as you mentioned. And you also get to gauge someone's true character during good and bad times. Stop showing me the highlight. By showing me these blooper reels means that I love you for who you are. Mm-hmm. And you will know that I'm a real friend, because either I kept a secret, I stood next to you, I called you at 10 o'clock when you asked me to, I drove over there to bring you soup because you couldn't. There's 1,000 things best friends do. It doesn't have to be money or a favor. I'm not asking you to move something. But Tracy, it's kind of like when I needed you the most, and you know I needed you the most, and you took my call. And it's kind of like today. As I said before, your podcast was very different from the ones that I've been doing. But in my life, I've made decisions to take next stages, and mine today was to join a very wonderful woman on her podcast and allowing to share a moment of vulnerability.
Thank you. We really honour that.
Yeah.
Really honour that. And yeah. What kind of message would you like to leave the world on today?
I have to do two messages, and you gave me permission to do it.
For sure.
I am the number one NXS fan in Costa Rica. If the band hears me, I love them. From the Ferris Brothers to the Vegetables to NXS, I had a chance to see them in July of 97 in Phoenix at the Union Hall. I paid $100 for a $20 ticket to get front row. There was no security because NXS likes to be with their audience. Yep. During media, I was able to shake Michael's hand. And at the end of the show, John Ferris shook my hand. And I also stole the lyrics to Mediate, and I have them at home. But
wonderful.
John, pass some energy. Say what you want. I was looking in the eyes of Michael Hutchins, shaking his hand. He smiled at me. I'm like, oh, man, he knew I knew every song. He saw me singing the whole time. That was awesome. I just had to do that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 100%.
The second thing I want to share is go for it. Live your beautiful life. You might have to disappoint some people. Sometimes you might have to make a selfish decision. But if you have these cosquillas, if you have these chills, if you have the sixth sense, the intuition, maybe your past life is telling your current life, you got to do this for your next life. Do it. Because the last thing, even if you fail, fail big, fail huge. So you can tell the story of when you tried. A lot of the, you and I make it look easy. They don't know those dark moments when you almost quit. And my advice to you is to keep your momentum, keep your energy, look in the mirror, be very, very, very proud of yourself. And also, without sounding like a parent, always have your health, eat well, try to exercise, try to sleep. And try to listen to podcasts like Victim to Victory and other very influential areas and mediums where you can meet and share energy with incredible people that have been in your shoes. Maybe not exactly your shoes, but they've had their own forced march and they've had their own uphill. And there was a lot of the times when literally everyone said you can't. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just proud of you. I haven't met you, but I'm proud of you.
And thank you so much.
Well, not just you, Tracy, your audience too. Yes. You know? And if anybody has a story and they are in Costa Rica and they're visiting, come visit me too. You don't need what I do for a living. You can have a burger with me and just tell me your story and let us know that Tracy is our triangle. It's me, you, and Tracy was the thing that brought us together. And that's the best way for this, my new friends through your podcast that I will be meeting. Because we can talk about you. And I want to love Tracy. And then we can share our own stories.
I absolutely love the way that you connect, that you have just such a posture about you, Richard, and you genuinely care about fellow humans and you genuinely want to make a change in the world. You've got so much knowledge to share, and I know you've got so much more to share as well, so there may even be a part two. We'll talk about that later. So thank you for being very brave to share your story in the way that you did with us today. Black sheep and all, you are very appreciated, and we'll be sharing where to connect with you as well. And you can find the Victim to Victory podcast series on YouTube, Anchor, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. If you got value from today and from Richard's story and you want to connect, we will be sharing where to connect with him. So please subscribe and comment. And you'll also go into the monthly draw to win access to the Brand Your Story Academy podcast creator course. And remember, wear your story like a superhero cape and not an anchor. Thank you very much, Richard, for joining us. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Bye-bye now.